Hallo? Hallo? Ja, men det funker ikke. Kanskje må jeg koble med den som du funker? Nei. Ja, men 2 minutter før, det funker ikke. Så det er viktig. Okay. Then magic works. So, okay, let's start. As I announced in the weekend, you might already have checked Blackboard. There are some videos uploaded there, which are about everything that we will not cover in this lecture. Okay? So then I'm happy that we have so many people here today, and then maybe a few more online. So actually, the first question is whether you are sitting in K105 or remote, and I can understand how many people do we have remote here today. Four people remote so far. Okay, thank you. Then we know that most of you are here. That's good. So first we go further. I would like to start with a bit of a summary from the topics that were covered in week 42. So first of all, there was something about definitions, and there was something about threats, where we mentioned that in the slides you might have found that the threat is a potential cause of an unwanted incident that may occur to an asset or organization. And then, of course, a few more definitions, where the definition from the book that is the main pensum is a threat can be anything, whether physical or abstract. If it has, as long as it has the potential to adversely affect an object or system. I see a question there, but we can. Let's see the question. Good. And then, of course, there are different types of threats, and in the book and in the lecture, you. So, two of them, categories, main categories such as unconscious and conscious. Unconscious threat being everything that's related to a catastrophe or something like a force majeure or maybe human mistake. And then conscious threat when there is someone with a certain intention which is standing behind the threat. Again, there could be another way of categorizing the threats, such as internal and external threat. Of course, internal threats when there is an insider who has somehow initiated the whole process, and external threat when there is something which comes from outside the network, outside the organization, and so on. You also read about threat factors, and maybe you have also heard the lecture, the recording from before, right? And that means we talk about different threats with different levels of opportunity, which is like what is the possibility that an actor can use this, can exploit the situation and go further with it, and that depends on what is the opportunity out there. Also, capability, the tools, the methods, the skills that the attacker has, and also intention. There could be no intention at all, like just curiosity, or there could be a specific intention, a specific target, and so on. And then different categories of threat actors, which could also be perceived as having different levels of these threat factors, like low intention or no intention at all, high skills, low skills, average skills, using different kinds of tools. And then, of course, depends on the opportunity out there. And then we have amateur threat actors. We have also the hackers, which could be divided into white hats, gray hats, and black hats. And then we also have the more organized groups, where we can talk about the hacktivists or even the state-sponsored attackers. Let's see. Yeah. Yes. I think I did it now. I hope it works better. Okay. Good. And then vulnerabilities, according to ISO, and also very similarly to what the book describes it, a vulnerability should be defined as a weakness of the system through which there could be a threat that would harm the asset that we own. And so from the book, the definition is that the vulnerability is a weakness that could compromise the security of an ICT system. And in this case, as in general, we have different definitions based on the different context. So it could be based on the stage where it's being discovered, or the system aspect that it's somehow being compromised or threatened. And then it could be during acquisition, design, implementation, administration, during the system upgrade, or during its even termination. And also, which threat actor is behind this or trying to exploit the vulnerability. And then we could say that it could be defined as the probability that the threat actor's capability can be larger than the defenders or their resistance capability. And then how we define a vulnerability today could be different from what could we define it tomorrow or in the next year, because this is always an evolving process. There will be new vulnerabilities, new systems, and so on and so on. There was also something about the timeline, where there were explain the different stages from the moment that the vulnerability has arisen until the moment that it's fixed. And sometime between there, there's the time when the vulnerability is aware to the developer himself or to the company, let's say. And that's when it's called the zero-day vulnerability, because that's when the process to fix the vulnerability starts. And if you hear about the term zero-day attack, that's also when the threat actors knowing that the vulnerability is now aware for the system developers can exploit it. And then we had the vulnerability scoring system, CVSS, something about how it can be calculated and what are the different factors that could affect the score. It can be time dependent and environment dependent. And when we talk about environment, it's mostly about the organization itself that has discovered the vulnerability. And then it could be that depending on the context, on the environment, the score is different. And then there was an example about the different categories. So we have four different categories of vulnerabilities, starting from physical vulnerabilities with the different situations, human vulnerabilities when it's about mostly missing security culture or low level of security awareness. And then, of course, organizational or procedural vulnerabilities, and in the end, technical vulnerabilities, which cover mostly the software, system vulnerabilities, network, etc. And in the end, software security. This was something that wasn't covered in the recording. This is something that also it's not like a main part of the topics of the lectures this semester. So very briefly, when we talk about software security, we should understand that's only about developing software that should try to behave as expected. And then, of course, you have the examples like Heartbleed, which was part of the presentation, and also WannaCry, which was the event that happened in 2017. And on the left here, you have the spread of the virus and the number of the systems and the location where this happened all over the world in 2017. And then we talked, and then the part there was also a bit about the BSIMM, which is Building Security in Maturity Model Framework, which was initiated a few years ago. And it has a certain number of steps and a certain number of pillars that all the organizations should go through if they are willing to have a more secure set of software they're working on. And in among the different steps here and pillars, there was something about architectural risk analysis, something about STRIDE, how to model your opponent, how to make sure you are doing the right thing against the potential threat actor. And then it's like, do you have spoofing incidents? Do you have tampering incidents? Do you have repudiation, information disclosure, denial of service, or elevation of privilege? All of these are like compared to what the situation is like, and if there is something like that, then we should act upon it. And then OWASP, which is one of the most relevant lists of action when it comes to what's happening out there. There's a difference between the version in 2017 and the most recent version in 2021, but we can still see that the software security part is still relevant and it's still being attacked often. Yeah. So in the end here, it was mentioned that there should be a time when in the future, hopefully in the near future, It will not be acceptable to teach anyone about programming without teaching them about secure programming at the same time. Good. That was a summary from last week. Now, we're talking this week about organizations. That's how I would like to invite you to type your own definition of organization. This is an open-ended question, so just type your own definition there, and then we can see how it goes. You're free to start. Thank you. Okay, so when we talk about organization, we mean structure and hierarchy, a group of people, collective of people, entity or a group of objective, anonymous, okay, helping people, activists, yeah, okay, collection of people trying to achieve a goal, organized group of people with a specific goal, that's good, organized entity, a group of people working on something, organized group of people, particular purpose, entities working together, reorganized into the first galactic empire. Okay, that's Star Wars, or what is it? Voluntary work, secure system providers, group of specific goals, working towards same goal, organized group, can be a company, websites with .org. That's very concise. Criminals, that's very concise as well. Good, thank you. Then this was just to make sure that you are going to the topic. So once again, when we talk about organization, definition around organizations, this will not be covered today. This is just to make sure that we are on the same level and then we can go further. This is part of the videos that were sent out already in Blackboard. So you can go further there if you need more concepts about organization. Then, today we'll talk about why cybersecurity is important for the organization. Okay? This is why we're having the lecture now. So, this was also shown in the videos again, in the recording. This is a study, a survey from a few years ago, but I think it's still relevant. This is how people perceive a company or an organization, they think that it's better to buy products in a website or in a retailer entity that it's secure than somewhere else. And this somehow could be also a source of competitive advantage. And then further on, when we talk about organizations, it's also the other way around. So if we are not, as an organization, if we are not able to understand the environment around us, what's going on out there, we might be very much affected and compromised from different types of attacks. And there were like 7 new phishing scams, which this link here, this report mentioned, which could be also very much damaging for the companies. So how should we try and protect the organization? First of all, it's not feasible to try and protect against all cyber attacks, against all kinds of events that might happen. There could be not enough expertise, and then if we would need more expertise, that would cost. There could be maybe not enough ways to protect all our networks and units, and then it should be somehow, we should be able to prioritize where we should address our defense spending. And then on the other side, if we are not doing the right thing, there could be many consequences, like there could be information which is untrue, fake news posted about us, there could be a low level of reputation based on that, loss of revenues, losing information which is relevant, or maybe having it stolen. Or we could have also confidential documents, classified documents, trade secrets, intellectual property leaked or stolen, and then the cost would be even higher. So in this case, if we are to protect an organization, what kind of technology or tools could we use? And this is like a sort of a question for you. If you can think about it, like how can we protect an organization from all these different consequences? Then, of course, we will go through the most popular ones, but then what's your opinion on this? Seconds. Thank you. Okay, encryption, OpenSSL, access restriction, nice, updates, security specialists, security awareness, firewalls, two-factor authentication, securing your networks and database, protecting networks with firewalls, encryption, educating, security policies. Good. Security cameras, firewalls, two-step authentication, internal education. Cybersecurity, get good in cybersecurity, antivirus with guns, that's very good. Maybe identify the most important information to protect, yes. I will post the slides on Blackboard as soon as I get more answers from you. People will help a secure organization, VPN, and so. Hire a security consultant, I should say here, maybe. Yeah. Good. That was very good. Now, the next question. Do we have only one single universal solution? Is it a yes? Is it a no? Or is there someone working on it right now? See if we get more than 36 answers. Okay. Yes. Good. So most of people here think there's no single solution and someone is already working on it. That's very good. So when we talk about security tools and appliances, there is no single security solution that will solve all needs of all organizations. There's of course a whole set of tools and appliances and devices that need to be implemented, but on the same time they need to work together, right? So they need to be integrated in a way that they are their combined value is larger than their unique value. And there are lots of different security appliances, most of them you already mentioned, like firewalls, and then routers, VPNs, antivirus, anti-malware, also web or email security devices or tools, access control tools, decryption tools, management system, security management system. And then, of course, firewalls, intrusion prevention, intrusion detection system. Yes, all of these. So now, in the remaining part of the lecture, we will try to go through those were the most relevant, starting from firewalls. So what is a firewall, or a brandmur, I think it's in Norwegian? It's designed to control or filter all communications that are allowed in or out a device or a network. There are two main categories of firewalls. Most exactly, a host-based firewall, which is like installed on a single computer, or a network-based firewall, which is a network device that protects the whole network of computers and the other devices there. And then port scanning. This is also a way how to make sure that you're doing the right thing as an organization. This is something that was explained in the tutorial briefly last week, so I'm not going to go into details here. But of course, it could be used both maliciously and for security reasons. And then in this case, also ZenMap, which is mentioned here, it's always good to be done on public servers, on a company network with permission. And then it is somehow, as mentioned on the tutorial, helping the organization to start the reconnaissance process, to start understanding the issues and how then could they be addressed. Further on, then when we talk about that reconnaissance or some other stages, I think you already saw in the tutorial last week a representation of the cyber intrusion kill chain, which is a framework which was initiated from Lockheed Martin a few years ago. And then it's comprised of different stages. In the main book that we are using in Norwegian, there are 8 stages, where there is a so-called stage zero or initial stage, which goes even before reconnaissance. But then in the usual setup, it's the kill chain framework is comprised of 7 stages and 3 phases, which is like pre-compromise. So if we are able to detect what's going on before we are compromised, then these are the stages that the attacker follows before the actual network compromising. And then the stages within the compromise phase and the stages after the compromise phase, which is like mostly when everything is lost and then we have to start to recover and so. So you see here there are 7 stages, starting from reconnaissance, and then weaponization and delivery. And then, of course, very briefly here, when we talk about the first stage, it's about trying to gather as much as information from the attacker's perspective for their target, right? And then this is where it starts to get interesting, because then depending on the information that's gotten, then the attacker can understand where to focus his efforts. And then, of course, weaponization is the next stage, where based on the information, there is this exploit that's sort of a module, a file, something which is like able to be transferred to the target's computers and units, and then also the payload, which is what should happen after this exploit has succeeded. Once this is created, then it's delivered through the delivery stage within the target's systems, and that's where the pre-compromise phase finishes, leaving room to the compromise stages, which are first exploitation, the exploit, the virus, the whatever is being used to make sure that we are attacking the system is executed, and then we start by making sure that everything that we put there from the attacker's perspective, malware, backdoors are being installed in the installation stage, and that's where the compromising phase ends. Further on, we talk about command and control, which is now the attacker is able to control the system remotely, and then basically he can do whatever he wants. And then, of course, there's the action part, which is the last stage, which is either stealing information, getting more attacks, more devices, getting a more severe situation, and so on. Now, as mentioned in this image here, the later the organization is able to understand the situation, the more efforts and of course the more costs it will take. So that's why this model, which was surprisingly not built initially for addressing security issues, this model is very useful for all organizations when they are trying to understand what's going on in their current systems, in their current networks, and how can they deal with this. I see we have some questions. Can a backdoor be removed? If there's a tool for that, yes. But then you have to dig deep and understand where is it, where the source is, and how this can be further dealt. That's why somehow that lecture about software security was interesting, because it should be from the beginning, from the moment that the system is installed or from the moment that you have a new module and everything, there should be some process about understanding the security level and if there are any flaws or bugs or anything which could compromise the system. It's also about the contracts, the agreements between the organization and third party suppliers and so on and so on. So it's a bit complicated. As an expert hire to penetration testing organization, what stage in the cyber kill chain are focused on? So this is, if the person is here, we can have the question more clarified, or if the person is remote online, please send another comment. Is it about, so if we are talking about penetration testing, what is the current, what is the stage where this could be understood? I guess that's the question. Or for the organization, what stages would be the most important ones? I'm not sure now. So once again, the image here, or the text on the other slide, you have seven stages, and the first one, reconnaissance, is the one that where you get more information about the target. And that's where somehow this is also dealing with penetration testing there. So if you want to understand how the system works and if there are any weaknesses there, then it's all about the first stage, reconnaissance. But then if you want to understand where the company should focus on, it depends. It depends from the beginning, from the first step. So what are the weak points, and then if they could be exploited or not. If they could be exploited, it's better if we do something about it before it comes to delivery or installation. But the question was not very clear. And about backdoors, I mentioned, so it's like, it's also about the target. So it's not that all the organizations could be targeted, but then sometimes it could happen. And then as long as we know that the tools out there have enough security that we should not risk this eventual backdoors or malware installed somewhere, if the people, if the staff is already aware that there could be something like that at any time, then we should be safe. Can a backdoor be removed? And then you answered my question, thank you. You could have click OK. I'm pressing this as answered, and this is answered. Good. Save to go on. Yeah. So, when we have these different stages and different phases within the cyber intrusion kill chain framework, how do we understand at what stage is the current potential attack? First of all, we should clarify the indicators that we can use for this. So there are plenty of indicators that could be used. And then if we are able to measure and to provide these values for our organization, then we should know if we are at the level, at a given stage. And then how are we doing at that stage? Then what security tools should be needed to detect the indicators at each of the stages? This is also something that the organization itself should answer. And then we are also trying to discuss some of these tools today. And last thing, could there be any gaps in the ability of the organization, of the company, when it comes to detecting a current or a future attack? This is also something that could be evaluated based on the information that we have so far, based on the indicators that we have, based on the tools that we are using, based on the overall level of expertise and skills that we have among our staff, and also based on the context, right, on the developments around us. The important thing is here that, again, the organization should understand that there is an increasing level of effort and an increasing level of costs if the attacker has already gone too far with his attempt. So we need somehow to invest everything in, at least in the beginning, in the first stages, where there's plenty of room to understand more about the system and the different devices. Then we know what can go wrong. And then once we have that, then we can also invest more in the different tools that are able to perhaps prevent or respond to any attempt that might happen. So I think these questions are also related to the discussion that we had. So this is also very important to understand what we should use for each stage. And then that, of course, depends on the organization itself. So one of the approaches used to understand more about the attacker's behavior, it's, of course, called the behavioral approach. So it's like trying to think like an attacker, trying to understand how an attacker